Interview with Vincenza Galletti Feather, Royal Oak, Michigan, March 21st, 1985. Okay. Mrs. Feather, could you tell us a little about your experiences of growing up in the Copper Country? But before you get started, could you tell us a little about your family, the name of your mother and father, and where they were from in the old country?
I was thinking of that paper that I had written that had all of that really summarized nicely. Well, my mother and father came from San Giorgio Canavese in Italy, Piemonte. My father came here first. His brother, Frank, lived in Calumet, and he sponsored him. He came here, and he worked in the Franklin Mine, and then
now,
his...
Wait a minute, what year did he come?
1898. And then after a year, he sent for my mother.
Okay, and their names were?
My father's name was Michele Galletti. And my mother was Cesarina, it's really Cesara, that's the way it's called. Cesarina Zubiena. Cesarina Zubiena.
Was that Z-U-B-E-N-A?
Z-U-B-I-E-N-A.
Okay.
And she arrived in Calumet, that's married.
Oh.
And they were married in Calumet, that St. Mary's Church, St. Mary's Church.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Italian church, that's what, in Calumet. My father, Molinari, and then my father brought home in Franklin Mine, Michigan, which was not too far from South Range, from Calumet.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, Katie, and I were born in Franklin Mine, Michigan. And then
then where did he work at that time?
He worked in the Franklin Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought a home in South Range, which was about 8 miles from Calumet,
mm-hmm.
and worked in the Baltic Mine there. And we went to school, the Baltic School, and then we went to the South Range Grammar School, which was a new school that was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Painesdale High School, now known as the Jeffers High School.
Did you know when you were growing up there, did you go to school with a Jenny Koppel?
Oh yeah, I know Jenny Koppel very well. I knew the Koppel family.
Uh-huh.
And although she's the only one I recall.
Mm-hmm.
The others must have been younger. You said there was a Koppel up in Market?
Right. Well, now, Father Koppel.
Yeah, he did too.
Father Koppel. Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, I remember him as a youngster. I was older.
Mm-hmm.
And, you better coach me.
No, you were saying you were going to school then in Painesdale.
Yeah, and I graduated from the Painesdale High School in 1920.
Do you remember, but before you go on, do you remember what anything of life in, around the mining towns that way, anything in particular? What did your father, for instance, did he ever talk about working in the mines?
Well, it was dangerous and difficult.
Oh, yes, I do remember a lot, although he never discussed it, but I knew and I worried very much, especially when he was on the night shift. I couldn't sleep those 2 weeks. I'd be up at dawn waiting for his knock on the door and he'd return on the night shift. It seems as though all the accidents, the tragic ones especially, happened on the night shifts. Mm. And I used to be so grateful when he arrived home. And I remember him walking from Baltic Mine, which is about 3 miles from South Reading, with the icicles down his mustache, icicles about 6 o'clock in the morning. And that always worried me. So that when I went to Bay City to teach, that was my dream, to get him out of those mines. Mm. And but I didn't have to get him out because the mines had started to close there and he was without a job anyway. So I persuaded him to come down and he came to Detroit. He stayed with Judge Ricker, Recorder's Court Judge Ricker, who later became the Recorder's Court.
Okay, but wait a minute, let's go back to you then going on to school. No, going to Normal.
Continue from there?
Right.
I went to Normal for a year and several summers. Mm-hmm. The first year and a few summers after, and corresponding course, I got a limited certificate. Uh-huh. We were eligible, you know, to teach mm-hmm. with that.
Now, do you remember what life was like there going to school at Northern at that time?
All I remember, it was lovely. I just loved it. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was very nice. And we were a mixture. Students from Saginaw and all the different towns around there. I can't even remember the towns now, it would be Saginaw. Well, anyway, the Iron Country. Mm-hmm. And it was very nice. We had dances where everybody went. You didn't have to wait for a date. You just went and you stood around. And if you knew how to dance, they usually asked you to dance. And of course, we had to pay for it. All celebrities would come. Every month or so we had.
Oh, it was like a lecture series?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we had Judge Ben Lindsay one time from Colorado, mm-hmm. who's a well-known judge. And, we had singers and we all had to buy tickets for that. And the Normal, my year and a half there was very, very pleasant. And I followed it through with every summer mm-hmm. until I got my life certificate.
Then what did you do? Were you teaching?
Teaching at the same time, yeah. I'd go every summer. And during the winter, I would take correspondence courses. And I was able to graduate soon after because I really put my mind to it. And mm-hmm. I took a lot of correspondence courses. Went this summer and took the full number of courses that was permitted. Mm-hmm. And then I got a life certificate. And I taught just 1 year up there and then came down to Bay City for 1 year.
Where did you teach up there?
And you mean up in the carpet company, right?
Right.
Oh, I taught at the Padone. I really proud of where they put me. They put me in the junior high at Painesdale High School that I graduated from. Uh-huh. And I was a great one on Shakespeare during the high school years. We used to dramatize scenes and things like that. Uh-huh. And so they gave me the Shakespeare class. And Shakespeare. history, I think, which I do is math. But I was glad. And they gave me those two courses to teach. It was very nice. We had wonderful superintendent and principal, the Jeffers. They were very well known up there. He was the president of the State Board of Education for many years, Fred A. Jeffers. And then what do you want to know next?
Then how did you get down to Bay City?
Oh, my physics teacher, Mrs. Emmendorfer, was her name, from Bay City she was. No, she was from Saginaw. And she came down and to speak to my mother and dad and asked them if they would give their permission for me to come down and teach in Bay City and teach in the parochial schools there. There were three of them. And where I was only making $80 a month up there in South Range, you know. They were offering me $150 a month. See, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All my parents didn't think so much of it, but she persuaded them. So I went and I taught in Bay City for a year until I applied here in the public schools of Detroit and I got in and taught physical training. I don't know why they put me in physical training, but that's what I taught. And at the same time for that year, I enrolled in Jesse Bonstell's School of the Drama. That was a very well-known, you know, School of the Drama in those days, as Del mentioned. And lots of our prominent actors, at the time I was there studying, Melvin Douglas was the leading man there. And Jesse Royce Landis, Ann Harding, Catherine Cornell, Jesse Bonstell made all those stars. They were 2 years ahead of me when I was there studying. And so when I graduated from there, I applied to the Wright Players. They had several companies throughout Michigan. And I got a job. She had a good name, and she had to train her people very well. So I stayed with the Wright Players for several seasons. They had stock companies throughout the Middle West. And then I went to Chicago and I joined the musical comedy. I did Nono Nanette and Irene. Off the road. Sure, I traveled. And I did White Cargo, Tondaleo, White Cargo, that's what I played in those days, and Rain, that was one of my specialties. And then I went to Chicago and joined the Kedzie Theater there in Chicago, and I was there for a season. And then I applied with Peruzzi Players. And I went with them down south, Knoxville, and then followed in Jacksonville. And I was in Jacksonville for two seasons. Then I met my husband, who was a musician, and we were married. And that's where my career stopped. And I had my family. Then when Federal Theater came, I picked it up again. About 5 years ago.
Now, when did you, where were you living at this time?
With the children and married and that? In Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
And Federal Theater started, and that was the headquarters for Florida.
Oh.
And I was very, you know, it was nice because the same theater that I played there before Federal Theater. And my family there. And we gave an animated history of the drama throughout Florida. And we started with the old Grecian plays way back and came up to the modern day, which was The Girl of the Golden West, believe it or not. And help yourself with it.
Okay.
Very good. I have a complete book on seven theory days, which are very good. So ask me some more questions.
I recommend supervisors of education there in Florida. And she was now head of the Federal Theater.
No, what was her name?
Dorothea Lynch. And she's mentioned in the book Arena. What is it?
So then you went through the, what, 19, up to the first, to the Second World War, then you played with the Federal Theater.
Up to 39. And then we came up north. And then then Congress dropped the curtain on Federal Theater. So that was too bad. But that was sort of getting to the end of all the projects anyway. And my husband wanted to come up north, so we packed up and came up to Detroit. That was in 39, 40, I guess.
Then did your husband, what did he do?
Oh, he went with Kaiser Frazier. He's a public relations man. Federal Theater, and I went back to Wayne and got my degree. And I did it at night in the summertime, and I taught. I subbed throughout the days. Didn't take me very long. I got my degree, and so I got a contract. I stayed with them for 25 years with Detroit Public Schools. That's it, until I retired. I taught till I was almost 70. I also taught, this is a very good experience that I really loved. I taught at International Institute in Detroit. And I taught especially the Italian classes. I was there with Germans and the others. And there's so much about the group. But when the Italian classes were formed, pleasure to teach them, really. They responded with everything a teacher wants from a pupil, you know, every time he wants to do something. And I taught there for 12 years.
Now, could we backtrack to some of the earlier story? You said that that your father worked up in the Baltic Mine. And so he worked there as a miner until what year?
I would say 23 or 24.
And then how did you get him to come down here?
I persuaded him. The mines already had been closed there, and he just didn't have any work. And I told him, don't wait until they reopen. Why don't you come down here? I want to get him out of those mines anyway. And so he did. He came and stayed in Detroit and got work at Ford's. And then he brought the family down. Sold the home.
Now, were there many Italians from the Copper Country that did that?
Oh, yes. I'd number.
Like, say, in South Range, Baltic, and so on. Was there, like, a big migration of people out at that time?
Yes, I think so. I'd number. Yeah.
And what was it, kind of a constant? I mean, they didn't all leave at once, but they would just...
No, just gradually, Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I returned back a few years ago, none of the people that were there or the children of the people
mm-hmm.
were there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them just cleared out of there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the people do to support themselves up there now.
Now, when the Italians came down here, did they, the ones from the Copper Country, did they interact with each other or just go their separate ways?
I don't know, because you see, I left after my father got down here. I left for his jobs in the theater and I was gone. I really don't know. No, I don't think there was very much
mm-hmm.
there. They were busy. My mother was very busy with the church, St. Benedict's Church in Highland Park, and there were a few Italians there. But she gradually, my mother was a good mixer, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she spoke very bad English, but she made herself understood, and she, you know, mingled
uh-huh.
a lot. And I don't think she was so dependent on finding Italians, you
mm-hmm.
know. She was very outgoing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember up in the Copper Country there? There was a little place. What was it? Tri Mountain, and there was like a group of Italians that lived in like a little valley there. They call it Sunny Italy. Do you ever remember that? It was like a little valley, and they had terraced farms. You know, they had gardens that were terraced.
The gardens and what?
The gardens were terraced. They lived in this little valley there by Tri Mountain, and they had these gardens. And I guess they call the place Sunny Italy. So it was like a location.
I don't know.
Do you remember when the Italians, when they had celebrations and you know, did they ever have parades and activities?
Oh, did you read that paper?
Mm-hmm.
That tells you an awful lot of my life in San Francisco and what happened up there. Oh yes, every Columbus Day. They still do. I went there a few years ago and they're still really parading and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and making a big deal of it and a big dance and a big dinner and everything. Yes, the Italians continue. Although there's quite a mixture now. The Italians, a lot of them married the Finns, you know.
Uh-huh.
A lot of intermarriages there.
Mm-hmm.
And the big boarding house in Baltic, that had a lot of Italians. And my friend, her mother and father ran a big boarding house. And my mother sponsored her niece come from Italy here, you know. And she found her job at the boarding house. And her niece, she met a handsome Italian, Modena, and they were married
mm-hmm.
to Chicago. And every Saturday night we had the dances at the boarding house, you know, and we had a big dining room and big dances there. My mother used to take us, or up in Santoris Hall. The Italians were very, very active up there in those times. Much more so, although I think there were more Finnish people, but they were more restrained. They never did with many things we did.
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
example, the 4th of July parade, well, we were very outgoing, you know. My mother made sure that we all dressed in the beautiful white dresses. All the Italians did that. They found that very important. and we were taught patriotism. We really were.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look back, I marvel at that, you know.
Now, these were your parents.
Yeah. And of course, our school out here, they were wonderful. Jeffers, James Steele, all that patriotism. And regard for the foreign-born, because that high school was made of all the children of the immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first high school built for the children, really, of the immigrants there. And it was designed so they knew that we didn't have baths in our home. Although the Finns had the sauna, and my mother used to send us there every Saturday for our nickel. We used to go and see that.
Mm.
But on Monday morning, that was a routine. The whole high school had to go down for showers. So we didn't have any towels or anything. We just went under the shower, and the teacher stood there and saw it. You went under that cold shower right after that. Put on your clothes, you know, wet.
Wet?
Yeah, we didn't have towels or anything like that. It was just warm, cold, into your clothes. Down for everyone's business. But we survived. We didn't complain. That was something that we didn't have at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very pleasant growing up in the Copper Country. It really was.
Could you tell us something about the Italian businesses in South Range? Were there a lot of Italians in business there?
No. The business people were the Finns,
mm-hmm.
and Jewish. We had a few Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Now, wasn't there Santori's?
Oh, yeah. That's the saloon. Oh, yes. Santori's Saloon.
Do you remember his first name?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
We called her Mrs. Santori. And she had this gathering every Saturday night, and all the Italians brought their children up these stairs up in the Santori's Hall. And she would, I was introduced to the marionettes when I was very young. She produced.
Oh, she did.
The marionettes. She was very, very intelligent, bright woman. And she had been a former opera singer, and she would entertain us with some of her songs. And then another Saturday night, it would be the marionettes, and she would have a play ready for us. And there was always some entertainment that was worthwhile listening to.
Uh-huh.
And our parents would take us there, and they'd say, we had a wonderful time. And then the hall would be cleared for dancing, and then we'd dance.
So they had a special thing for the children. Or was this for everybody, these marionettes?
Oh, it was for everybody. The parents brought their children. The children never went alone.
Yeah.
And,
now, did she make the marionettes herself at all?
No. Yeah, she did. I'm trying to think of what were the marionettes like. Yes. And her voice was at the back all the time. She
mm-hmm.
had a few that helped her dramatize the stories. Oh,
mm-hmm.
this is so long ago. You know.
You remember some of the stories? You know, were they like fairy tales or?
No. I don't.
And were they, what did she do them in Italian or English?
In Italian. In Italian. Because the parents were there. They were enjoying them along with us kids. Yeah.
And so this became a regular
Saturday night gathering. were children, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember my sister telling me how sad my parents were. I happened to have a problem here. It was a lump. And several doctors from Calumet, they all had fiddled around with it and pierced it and everything. And always it never healed. And so my father, I marvel how wonderful our parents were. They were really good. All Italians are good, I think. Anyway, they decided that all the doctors couldn't do anything. They lanced this thing, and it was draining for over a year. That was the end. My father said, I'm sending you to the Mayo Brothers. And he sent me to the Mayo Brothers, and I wasn't even 15 years old. And he put me on the train. I had to. And when I got to the Rochester,
mm-hmm.
I was to hail a cab. Imagine doing that today. Stranger, young girl, you know. Hail a cab and ask him to take you to a nice boarding house. And I trusted. I did that. Mm-hmm. And took me to Finnish lady who was running this boarding house. And, oh, she was so nice. She combed my hair for me every morning to get me ready and told me how far to walk before I got to the Mayo Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 4 or 5 blocks. So the next morning I walked, and my number was about 103. I remember that. And I had to hang on to this number till it was called. So 3 days I had to go in and sit. But the third day finally came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they performed the surgery there, and they drained whatever it was, and I went home healed. But my sister always tells me, I remember my aunt sitting there in the Italian hall, not the Italian, St. Louis hall. On Saturday night for those kids, and they hadn't heard from you that day, and they were both crying, and I don't know why, because I didn't know it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was there. Anyway, they said, now tomorrow morning you report to St. Mary's Hospital. Couldn't they see that I was just a minor kid? Anyway, I went there and registered, and they performed this operation, and the next day I was back and with this Finnish woman, and then I came home. Went to Milwaukee, did my change of train there, and came home. I don't know, I was fearless, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine my kids doing
that.
But you know, we grew up very self-sufficient. Our community was self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
The Italians were. We had our own gardens. Everything that could be grown was planted. Beautiful gardens. And we made our wine. And we had a pig. And we killed the pig and made the sausage for the winter. And some of the things we were very self-sufficient.
Cheese? Did you make cheese?
Yeah, we had a cow. Yes, certainly. We had a cow and we made cheese, cottage cheese and everything. And we could live without really depending on it. Once in a while, the grocer from Houghton and Hancock would come in and with some of the staples that we couldn't produce ourselves,
mm-hmm.
like the olive oil and stuff like that.
Do you remember, was that a woman that came down, that delivered the Italian stuff?
No, John Rocco, in a wagon, horse and wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the beer wagons coming. About 4 horses loaded up with cakes of beer.
Now, did the Italians there in Centauri's Hall, did they ever put on like any kind of dramatic presentations or anything?
No, except the Marianne
business.
Mm-hmm. No, but my mother and Mrs. Ricca used to dress up and go to the Calumet Theater. Mm-hmm. And on the train, saw things in the Calumet to see the theater, there, the opera, and whatever it was.
Now, did they, because they had a dramatic group in the Italian Hall that performed in Italian.
No, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. See, I didn't really live in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when my cousin was killed in this tragedy.
Your cousin, what was his name, in the Italian Hall?
Oh yeah, I mean my cousin was
Katie.
She was there with her little girl, Rena, and when she was caught in the stairway there, she held the baby up and cried, save her, save her. Somebody did save Rena. Rena's now one living in Flint.
Oh.
And Katie lost her life. And I remember we were there for the funeral. We were closely related in this way that her sister married my Uncle Frank. See, we were close cousins there.
Uh-huh.
And I always spent my summers there with them.
This up in Calumet.
In Laurier.
Oh. What was her name, Katie?
Katie Bronzo. And then, I remember the funeral, no purse or anything, the casket that I carried on the street. And I was standing by the side of the road watching all these caskets being carried down. It was the saddest time. And then her sister Mamie, Katie's sister Mamie, married the father of Rena.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they raised Rena, and she lives now. And Amy is still there, Flint. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, we go visit her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, how old are you?
How old am I?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 82. Hate to tell, but I am.
With among the Italians there, did any of the people have like various herb medicines or various medical treatments that they used to use, like folk medicine or anything, or grow things that they used to use?
Chamomile. We called it the chamomile. That's chamomile tea.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And whatever we had, Mother gave us a chamomile. And I, to this day, I rely on that. It's very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you raised like that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these customs. Mm-hmm.
Did they grow it then? Did your mother grow it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure she did. Mm-hmm. But she grew the plant, which she used to have her friends that come over and sneak a little sprout of what she called it, rosemarine. Rosemarine. I never knew the term for it now. I think of it now. And she'd pick little pieces of it injected in the roast.
Oh, rosemary?
Yeah, I guess it was rosemary.
Where did they, you said they brought it, would they bring it from Italy?
Uh-huh. And there's a rule against that.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the real stinky old cheese from Italy. My uncle came over and they opened the trunk to glance through, yes, yeah, some of this very aged cheese. And they just got one whiff of that and they backed the top down. They didn't go in. It was, but, yeah, Yeah, they bring those, and you're not supposed to import plants. I don't know if the rule was that strict in those days. But we did use garlic, healing, and my brother used to suffer with worms. I should think that makes sense. You know that, and I read somewhere where garlic is very good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, I thought, well, I used to laugh when I think of what my crazy thing mother did for my brother when I was at home. He sprung the garlic around his neck. There was some truth to it. It's coming out now. The garlic is very excellent for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, were there any other things that they used for treatments like this?
You know, plants or things that they used to do?
Oh, she used to sometimes go to school and we'd catch lice. And the other kids, she was very strict with us. We were very clean. We all the Italians were very clean. And she would sit us down at night and love the kerosene. Yeah. Really rub it hard and example that the goats ready for school the next morning. Yeah, I remember that. She's very
Now, what language did you speak in the house?
Fluent, yes. What did you speak?
In English. I never learned Italian.
Oh, but were your parents born here?
Yeah, no, my dad was born in Switzerland, Ticino. They come from Milan. And my mom was born, she's French, and then she was born in San Francisco.
Oh.
She knew Italian, but wouldn't speak it.
So you don't know that much. You're not so much in depth with it like I am.
No. I can understand some conversations and read it. I can read it now pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably wouldn't take too long to learn. Pick it up.
My newspaper was the Minerale.
Oh, used to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of anyone that might have copies of that?
I bet you did. I wasn't aware of the importance of this being saving. When my mother died, and even when my father died, my brother who lived downstairs cleared out the attic. And there were a lot of things there that they were throwing away. In fact, by mistake, see that beautiful picture of the Alpine soldier?
Mm-hmm.
That's my father, Miss Gibby.
Oh!
And that picture was down among the trash. They threw it out the window into the driveway to clear it away.
All
the way clearing everything. And my father sat there, and all of a sudden he thought, he said, Joe, what did you do with my picture? And I don't think his picture was printed. Yes, it was. But then later on, I had that print put on. And Joseph, I guess we pitched it out of the window.
Oh my word.
I think they saved the frame and just threw, I don't know, some people don't know the value of some of these things. I was always very sentimental about it. I was raised a typical Italian until I left home. It took me a long time to outgrow this naive attitude, you know.
We had that thing.
So you'd say it was a nice little, what kind of little quiet spot, a very pleasant place to.
Oh, it was beautiful growing up the town. Oh yes.
How did the Finns and some of the, what other nationalities were there?
Oh, the Finns was a mixed largest group, and then we had the English, and they called them the Cousin Jacks. I don't think he was sarcastic or anything about it. The Cousin Jacks. And they were the captains and the mines and stuff, and we were all, there was no, we didn't dislike anybody. We didn't grow up disliking any group. Even the Jewish people, we were friendly with, but on most cases we were shunned with you. But no, we were very friendly with everybody. We never grew up with any prejudice instilled into us, which I am grateful for.
Now, do you have any, are there any of your friends or anybody still living up there?
Oh yes, I correspond with one of my friends who graduated from high school in 2 or 3 years before I did, and he went to SUNY College and then came back to teach in South Greensboro. And Margaret Brasso, she's still around. She must be about 85, 86 or something. And now there was another business. They sold hats and yard goods. Yeah, that's another Italian, I'll think about it now. But we did have some, and we had a grocery store run by the
Cerruti?
Oh, yes, Cerruti. Yes. How'd you know about that?
It's still there.
Have you been there? And Cerruti is still a butcher shop and grocery store there? Oh, my goodness. But my home was just around the corner from there.
Oh.
One block down.
Okay. Yeah, they're still, they're the only one. They're the only one Italian store in South Bend.
Do you know them at all?
I just seen it, so.
Balcony and Andrini had the candy shop where I worked while I was going to high school. We had a lot of business. And the Bossos had the dry goods store. Wolfie's down the corner. They were in business at some time, because they were kept stores, and I forgot what their business was down there. I think it failed or something, because Mr. Volpe went and took mines. He was becoming my father. The strike was a very terrible experience. The 1914 strike, that was awful. You were afraid to sit with lights on in your house. Our neighbor, she was doing her homework and then somebody shot a bullet. I could have just missed her. So from then on, they pulled our shades down and we were kind of nervous about it. It was very beat up, innocent people. It's a terrible time.
So these are what, the mine company police? Or?
Well, it wasn't the innocent workers, because several of our friends were beat up just going home from the grocery store. That it was the company side, on the company side. Never could pin it down to what it was. But everybody's very patriotic up there. Columbus was the biggest deal. So
so many speeches, and you were taught to sit there and listen politely and applaud, you know. You were taught respect, the things that should be respected. And it was beautiful running up there in the half the country.
Now, what did the where would they have the Columbus Day festivities then? In Centaurus?
We had a hall which we called Columbus Hall. It was up the other way, past the tracks. And the big
Columbus Hall or Kaliva?
Kaliva?
Yeah.
Definitely called a Columbus Hall.
Oh.
And we'd have a dance at night, and the speeches during the day, and the big parade during the day. It was quite a event.
Mm-hmm. Now, did the men take the day off from work, or?
Celebrated maybe on the
Saturday, probably. Yeah, I think they did.
I don't think the Cousin Jacks would put up with the miners thing for Columbus Day. They were supposed to be but they were still nice. Nobody was mad at anybody. They didn't hate any groups.
Now, you're saying there were Italian, Finns, Jews, Cousin Jacks. Any other nationalities?
Oh, yeah, Austrians, a lot of Austrians, and Yugoslavs.
Slovenians, Croatians.
Croatians. And it was a great mixture. Everybody was friendly. I never heard the word Dago till I got down here, you know. And my father, when he heard it, said to me, these dumb Americans, they can't even pronounce his name right. It's Diego. That's the first time we heard Dago when we came down here. You know? Wop, even though what a wop is. Of course, a wop also means the poles. We didn't have any poles people up there. No. We didn't have a Catholic church for a long time. And then the priest would come only once a month. And then finally we built a church, and Mass was said every other week. Finally, the big church, St. Mary's, but that was built long after I had left.
This was in Baltic,
South Ridge, on the way to Baltic. Not too far from where the Kapos lived.
Right.
We lived on the Baltic Road, and this way, and the church is right about here.
Sort of halfway between your house and the Kapos.
Yeah.
Now, did they have an Italian priest there then?
No.
In the church?
But we had a lot of other groups, you know, Germans and that were Italians and Austrians that were Catholic. No, we didn't have an Italian priest. I'm surprised to hear that the couple became the priest.
Louis.
What's his name?
Louis.
See, I didn't know their names each because they were young kids. All I knew was Jenny. Where's Jenny? What happened to her?
No, she's still up in from what areas were the Italians from, like in Baltic, South Range, Tri Mountain, Wainsale?
Toscana. That would be fine.
A lot of them.
Oh yeah, a lot of Tuscany and a lot of Piemontese. Well, they're more than half.
More than half. My cousin here is more than half.
And there were a few Sicilians, not very many. I always remember that because when my mother used to take us over to the boarding house on Saturday nights for the dances, she would say, "All right, don't want you mixing with any Sicilian."
She wouldn't want you as kids playing with them. She wouldn't want you as kids playing with them.
No, we were just at the age of, you were about 12 or 13 years old and learning to dance, you know. And we were thrilled when a young man asked us to dance. And so they were in the Sicilians. Because of this was French.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in those days.
Say, did I ask you the name of this Mrs. Santori?
Yes, you mm-hmm. did, and I should know it. My sister would know it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Balcony. Balcony was her
maiden
name? No, because she was the younger one. Lived with them, and I know she, Mrs. Santori was her aunt, Louise Falcone. Oh, it was beautiful, like a Madonna. She moved. She really looked up beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful Italian girl. Santori, Natalie, my sister, would remember that. You want me to call her?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's pretty much the information you have for the interview then, on life in the Copper Country.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
A lot more out of this thing.